Welcome again, everyone. It's Pamela. I'm just honoring everyone as the sage we already are, modern sages. And a quick reminder, just when you wish to speak, just press star 6 and then mute yourself again when it feels complete. Star 6 again. I wanted to speak a little bit about this modern sage-ness that we all are. And there's a great parable, true story about a sage that was very concerned. He was living in a forest and very content with the bare minimum, and someone offered him a cow. And that really weighed on his heart because he realized that was the beginning of responsibility. There he was in his lovely forest just listening to the birds and watching the movement of the wind in the trees and feeding himself. A very simple life. So each one of us, maybe we can have some compassion because we are modern sages. It's very rare we have the luxury, actually, of living in a forest without anything to attend to other than noticing. And we'll notice that our body-mind, our sensitive instruments, you know, they just notice what they notice. They pick up what they pick up. And part of embodiment or unfoldment is about listening within, about letting the body teach us how to be with what moves. Each one of us as this unmoving noticing or presence, we are holding all that is. And we're the heart of everything. So anything that has some restlessness or discontent or is holding any misunderstanding or suffering will come to sit with us. And in the beginning, that might be sort of a rude awakening, so to speak. That life goes on, that things still arise, that discomfort happens, not liking happens, along with the beauty and the cherishing and the simplicity of being. So we gather together as sages to trade notes. Each one of us will be totally unique, speaking uniquely about what we notice and what we're living. So no need to be correct with our languaging, no need to be other than you are. So as we savor, we can also share. So anything you want to bring to this gathering is very welcome.
Hi, Pamela. It's Carrie.
Hi. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Well, what I have been noticing is I don't even know how to put it. It's like I can be moved walking down the street by someone that, you know, I can see is in desperate need or is physically, you know, having a hard time. And that can move me to tears. But I'm finding that in situations like, you know, the passing of my father back in September and a friend that's dying of ALS, it's like I'm not feeling the, I don't know how to say it. It's just like I just feel like I should be more in grief than I'm aware of. I know it's got to be there, but I don't know where it is.
Mm. But there, it might be just the grace of you're just noticing what they're going through, and the lovely phrase, bearing witness, just being with them rather than adorning that with grief.
Well, I mean, like the passing of my father. I mm-hmm. cried at the funeral, but I haven't cried since then.
Yeah.
So it's like, am I really not the compassionate person I think I am?
Well, you are undisputably compassion. We all are. But it doesn't have to express itself that way. Because especially, I know my father passed at a very ancient age, so there was a celebration of a life well lived.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels very clear to me. Mm. Like it's more of a celebration than I mean, I miss him, but I'm not in grief. But my mother is, of course, in grief.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, this love that we are, it has so many notes like music does, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Some are in minor, some are in major.
Ah, oh, beautifully said.
Well, I guess I just need to let myself be where I am.
Well, yeah. And if doubt has some concern about your depth because of the lack of, you know, tears and all that, just reassure it. You're fathomless. You are immeasurable.
Okay.
Mm.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela. This is
yes.
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
I'm just calling to ask for, I started a radiation treatment for prostate cancer this week, and it's going to go Monday to Friday to April 4th. So I was just putting it out to the group for some, however, prayer or holding me and healing, however everyone does it in their own way.
Lovely. Yes, we will.
Okay, that's mainly what I... And it's always good being in satsang with you and with the group. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, dear. Bowing to you.
Thank you.
Mm.
Kabbalah?
Yes?
Kabbalah, this is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you. I have a question about listening within because I am confused. Sometimes the mind or a voice that I hear is saying one thing and the body has another message, and it is like layers. Probably, perhaps I'm not going deep enough. I'm not being still enough to get the whole message. But how do we know what we are listening to, especially if there's some action that we are needing to take, some decision we are needing to make?
Mm-hmm. Well, if it resonates, we could start by honoring that the mind cares very deeply for you and the body, which is why it wants to come join the inner satsang and give some advice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so just take a moment and honor the mind. It wants the best for us.
Thank you, Pamela, and thank you, mind.
And then in your own way, just bowing inside and honoring the wisdom of what we call the body, which is nature itself.
Okay.
And that can just be a silent bow or some devotion and gratitude inside to the mystery that is the body.
Yes, it is that.
Mm-hmm. And the true nature of everything, as we have noticed, is not in time. So sometimes the satsang will be a very quick, listening within, and there's enough stillness in the body-mind where that circle of intelligence informs itself. But sometimes we need to notice that the timeless is not in a rush. Yeah? I used to call it a slow fax, but it's rare people use fax machines anymore. Yeah, so just I find that the gratitude and the devotion within really opens everything up and returns everything back to its informed naturalness.
Okay. It seems like my mind is usually a lot faster than more of the mysterious body.
Beautifully said. Very true.
And the mind is more directive.
Aha.
In other words, the body just is, and the messages are not as detailed, maybe,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not, that's not the way to put it. They're not as, it's not as clear what action other than maybe to stop something that's hurting the body.
Okay. That resonates, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Mm. And deep down, just noticing that the body is okay, meaning that the body is, in its naturalness, it's well. And that in that field of wellness, there can be some not wellness happening, apparently. It's rare we notice that, you know, when we have something that is going on in the body, the report is it's all not well or something. But really, anything that needs loving attention is already happening in a field of wellness. The body is quite remarkable. It's like life itself. It's flourishing, and then there's just some areas where that need the loving attention.
Right. More like a hangnail.
A hangnail. Yeah, so we, needless to say, as compassion, we'll notice any remaining ache or stiffness or a sensation in the body that's saying, come be with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you for your noticing and wisdom.
Pamela, this is Lawrence.
Greetings.
You know, this topic came up yesterday about the whole role of male as oppressor in the world, and particularly with regards to women. How, you know, the male dominance has been prevailing for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah, in the past, for sure.
In the past, and that women have been subjugated and used and oppressed and silenced. And I was awake last night with all of this sort of marinating, and there was this feeling of wanting to get more in touch with how I may have been a part of that, even though it doesn't feel exactly as though I am. There's a sort of an uneasy sense that maybe I have been.
Well, only in role play, not as naturalness, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oppression and all that, that's just in role play, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, role play is still rather real as it occurs. It seems real as it occurs. And
yeah, but it's just another app, really.
Yeah.
It actually has a veiling function, so nobody sees us.
Yeah.
And also, originally, before it was protective, it was just fun to act out, so to speak, when you're like kids. One moment you're a astronaut, and next minute, who knows what you are. Yeah.
Well, you know, along with yes, I see that it is kind of a role play. And the thing is that my experience all along in this particular life has been the reverse of that, some of the people along the way in my life who caused the most pain were women. So I'm trying to reconcile. I know this is a thing of that the mind is trying to do, but there's a desire to kind of reconcile these two things that seem to be going on.
So just for a moment, just noticing the movements. And just bringing this medicine that you are, this compassion. Because where the mind gets agitated partially is when it wants to resolve something from the past.
Yes.
Through rising up to defend rights or defend or something. So here we are. Here we are, we're just blessing that movement because the resolution doesn't happen from outside, so to speak.
Right. Would it, would there be a way of bringing in the opposites to this?
Yeah, we could bring in, masculine, so we're speaking of identified, right? The identified masculine, the identified feminine. You could even just say upset is welcome here.
Ah, yes, go to the feeling, yes.
Yeah. Because it just lingers in the field. It's a great word. It's not used very often. But malcontent.
Ah, yes.
You know, and it's basically a discontent from the past that's in the human consciousness based on, you know, harshness and disrespect from the past.
Yeah.
And everybody can notice it somewhere in the field within. Just bringing our awareness, our loving attention to that.
There's also a little twinge of guilt mixed in with that. Just a sort of generalized feeling of guilt at having been a part of that.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and just inviting that to satsang.
Yeah, yes.
Because there is, for all of us as sages, there's going to be eventually a meeting with something I call natural regret. And it's the maturity of who we are, just noticing that through its role play in the past, it added to the group misunderstanding and tension. Not itself personally, but as an actor almost, being manipulated by the I thought.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing that this whole thing really has to do with role play and thinking about it. But it's, you know, when it came up with a great deal of force behind it.
Yes.
So much that I kind of lost perspective a little bit on it.
Yeah, but that just points to that it's very insistent on being liberated. So I don't know if some of the friends that are in this satsang can also bring their awareness to that, that ancient tension.
Yes.
Within the genders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because role play has Shakespeare woven into it. It has to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
so
drama.
We can just bring our awareness to that and bless it and invite it to rest.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely helps. That definitely does. Ah, yes. Sometimes something unexpected will just rise up out of nowhere.
Beautifully said, yes. Something unexpected will rise up out of nowhere.
Yes.
That pretty much sums up life, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Well, thank you so much, Pamela.
Oh, thank you for being with that and blessing it.
Thank you.
Hello, Pamela.
Hello.
Hello. Like Charlie, I'm also starting radiotherapy for 5 weeks. And I wanted to just ask you if there's a way I could be with it that might be make it less of an ordeal or less of or to help me in some way to with it.
Yes.
If there's a way that I'm not aware of that I could be with it.
Well, most of the final teachings are all about kindness.
Yeah,
so just really being kind to yourself and the body. Just whatever it needs, if it needs extra rest or yeah.
Mm-hmm. And while it's happening, is there a way to be with what's happening?
Well, just notice the sensations and see what's coming to sit with you, because you as that noticing inside, you're always giving satsang, meaning kindness and clarity. So in any moment, you know, impatience might arise, or I don't want to be here, or ooh, I don't feel good, or whatever the feelings are, just being with them as if they're your grandchildren.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. And I think also what one of my main, what's really bothering me is that I have to be there every day at a different time.
Yes.
That bothers me the most for some reason, more than the radiotherapy, just that I have to get there. It's an hour and a half or so.
Oh, yeah. So just honor that something doesn't like that inside.
Definitely.
Yeah, just yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Natural not to like that.
Yes.
And can you find a friend to take you?
Not to take me, but to go with me some of the time.
Oh, good, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because just as we're bringing a friend within with everything that arises, it's also so lovely to allow a friend to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I needed to hear.
Much, much love, dear.
Yes, much love to you, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Pamela.
Yes.
Hi, this is Therese.
Hello.
Hi. I really just wanted to say I loved what was said about natural regret and just that beauty of the flowering of that naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Really sweet. And what what was coming up for me this morning in meditation that just feels really good to hold in company was the deity of anxiety.
You're honoring it as that.
I'm working on it. I think I need a little bit of help, but I'm working on it. And just, yeah, bringing her into the field, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah, because it probably doesn't want to live its role anymore.
No, it's very anxiety-producing to live undercover, trying to get it all done.
Yes, yes. And just help it see its true nature. You could ask it to look behind that form or that function. Because
mm-hmm.
nothing is just what it appears to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I get with that is a, is a really little child running around, looking everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just ask it what would satisfy it forever.
To just be guided back into sitting in the armchair of the heart.
Yes. And it trusts you, yes?
Seems to, yeah.
Yeah. And honoring it also as natural intelligence, innocence, and maybe helping it notice that safety is always here, not somewhere else, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So not pushing it away.
Right.
But that's not very safe feeling.
Yeah, but it's just agitated because it's desperate to come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one hand pushing it out the door every time.
Yeah. What I also like noticing about anxiety or fear is that it's the most courageous.
Mm-hmm.
That courage and fear are not two.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask anxiety if it would like to know itself as courage. Or would it like to live as that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got this image of a very small being with a staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like look how much I've been running around and protecting and guardianing and it takes a lot of commitment.
Yeah, a passionate willingness to be here to protect.
24/7. The 24/7 bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
So devoted.
Taking a moment to bow to it or garland it.
Mm-hmm. I just had this image of a knight bowing down with the sword on the shoulder, softly.
Yes, yes.
Knighting it.
Yes.
Sir Anxiety.
And just check in and see if that's its true name. It might still be true in this moment, but just check.
Feels really dignified.
Ah, very nice.
And recognized.
Yes.
But also not wanting to completely eclipse the original nature, or the original, not the original nature, but the original cloaking of its job. So just not forgetting that, I guess.
Yes.
Not forgetting the anxiety, but not allowing it to be truly, unconditionally, fully allowed.
Yeah, it too can discern and live as rooted strengths. Would it like
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, nothing left behind in that flowering.
Mm-hmm.
That feels good. I can feel it rooted and rising.
Yeah, it's good to have a knight as, you know, as a friend within, as that rooted mountain strength.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking of the play of words of dark night, dark night of the soul.
Yes.
And night. Yeah, thank you so much. That was really, really helpful.
Well, thank you for giving satsang to that ancient friend.
My pleasure.
Hi, Pamela. It's Rosie.
Hey, Rosie.
How are you?
Great.
I went to go see this movie the other night, Winter's Tale, and I was deeply moved by it, and I was so happy someone had that kind of magical thinking that, you know, I have inside of me, and seems that are the people that we talk with in satsang do. And I was moved to a place of love, that it was very deep, and it's like this, it's been with me always. It's almost like, you know, it's like you're born with this, and it's this longing, and it's a beautiful sorrow, and it's just, it's huge. And it just made me completely still. And I've known this place. You know, it's been there. And I'm not sure if it was love for me or for love, just love itself. It was just there, you know, and I've had it. But I've never had it with another human. And I don't know that it's possible. I don't know if that's the fairy tale, come to this world for your true love.
But except yourself, right? You've had it with yourself.
Yes. And then I'm with it, and I don't know where to put it. So I try to just, it kind of gets a little tricky because it kind of twists off, and I'm not sure if it's the conditioning that does that. And then I eventually shame is what came up. And I tried to sit with shame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and then I was like, okay, shame. I'm ashamed of me. And then it was almost like this love is so, I can't say even personal. It's just so innate. It's almost like a gift that it's not supposed to be shared. I'm not sure. I'm a little confused.
Well, basically, it's sort of, it seems like it's giving us a beautiful satsang saying that the person we don't need to direct it or do anything other than let it love.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it feels like. Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah. And it's a mystery, and in the realm of our humanness, we're always going to be slightly awkward with it. If we try and direct the love or
put it somewhere, uh-huh.
Yes,
it's very deep, very deep. It's almost like you want to share it. When I kept sitting with shame, I don't really like the shame though. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know. Shame didn't fit there. I wasn't able to say, shame, you know, hang out with this. It's almost like love didn't recognize it.
Yeah, shame is a challenging friend to come to satsang, yeah? Yeah. So just honor that shame has built into it a turning away. But because it feels it's not welcome.
Well, love. It wasn't that love said no.
It couldn't have love. So shame turned away.
Of course not. Exactly. It's shame doesn't allow anything.
Well, that's why we want to scoop it up.
Okay.
You know, it's like a little kid that doesn't feel it can have its heart's longing, so then it acts up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So you just grab shame and hold it on your lap until it gets, everybody is welcome here. But it'll keep telling us why it doesn't deserve or why it shouldn't be allowed in satsang. But we just hold it. You kind of squeeze it a little extra.
Uh-huh. All it does is just ashamed.
I know.
Not doing anything else. And it's silly. It's so silly.
I know, but from its point of view, it's like this really ancient decision almost.
And there's no one to blame, really. I've uncovered everything in that area.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'd ask it if it can notice that it feels very deeply.
That's why I think it's connected to that love.
Aha. So ask it if it can recognize that since it feels so deeply, it must have a heart.
It's me.
Right, yeah.
It is, right. All of it has a heart.
Yeah, everything has a heart.
Right, everything is. But how does it individualize itself from that big, still love?
That's a good question. You could ask shame, why did you separate yourself?
Why did I separate at all? Why did we all separate? I listened to everybody on the call in my heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The love is, you know, it's there, but I'm ashamed to be who I am or to be free of anxiety or to be at peace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just So why did it separate? To have experience. To have experience, I guess. To experience and to go out and then to come back.
Ah, beautiful.
I don't know.
That resonates, doesn't it? To go out and come back.
So that it can know the love for real, I guess. I don't know. It seems that I'm tired. And I don't want to take care of a cow right now either.
I don't know if everybody heard that, but Rosie just said, I'm tired. I don't want to take care of a cow either.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So we just, it's sort of like lying down in the substratum, in the heart, inside.
Yeah.
Everything can lie down out of its form and function or personal history or even shame can just relax back into its naturalness.
Yeah, and then for me, it's just a stand to be within myself with it all. I don't necessarily, like I share here, I can trust this portion, but in the world, I don't, it doesn't have to, it can be veiled and still exist.
Yes.
That's, okay.
Yes. Yeah, total freedom. It likes its natural privacy. It's not going to be in, you know, 2,000 watts all the time.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, love.
Bye.
Pamela?
Yes?
It's Lila.
Hello. Hello, Lila.
It's about guilt here. And it's like it's always, always on. And at a certain moment, there was like a something I could see, just in a short moment, like an illumination some years ago, that it's the guilt is very deep into society and in the collective, and that what is in me is very connected to that guilt.
Yes.
So it's always there.
But you can trust that what you sit with the most regularly is ripe for liberation. So just honor it as natural regret. Its true nature is natural regret. And it's an impersonal regret. I would suggest it's almost human and divine regret.
When you say regret, you mean that something is not accepted? Or sorry, I don't follow because I'm not native English speaking. Regret.
If natural regret, if we put an image to it, it would be maybe someone with their head bowed, saying, please forgive me. But it's not a person.
No.
Yeah, it's like just an ancient, please forgive me.
And I just need to say to you that the voice of this guilt within, I found it like that there is, and this is the hint. It says that you have no right to be free. So
oh, yes.
It's like a catch 22, or how you would like to put it. You know, that's really the hook that I feel it's all hanging in.
But that's the I thought feeling it has no right to be free. And the I thought is the author of most of the suffering of humanity and most of the harshness. So maybe that's the one that needs the forgiveness for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's also another,
the I thought.
It's another role, the I thought. So ask the I thought if it can notice it cannot be forgiven or granted clemency. Do you know that word?
No.
That's where everything forgiven or amnesty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ask it if it notices when it's in its role, part of its role is to be unforgivable.
It definitely is its role.
Yes, yes.
To be unforgivable. It's like it would have to disappear otherwise. That's how it feels like. It's profound,
So it feels it cannot have freedom because it's done such terrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ask it to look behind its role and its history as the I thought. Who is it really before it ever crystallized into the I thought that defended and was harsh and...
Well, there is like dizziness and confusion when you ask that question. It gets dizzy.
Yes.
And confused.
But just reassure it. It's safe. It's safe. We're just looking behind the known and the habitual.
Well, the answer is that it just has to be honored. So much has to be honored. It cannot just be dropped.
Very accurate. That resonates, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we could ask it to forgive us for not honoring it.
Oh, it's a lot of crying. A response to that. It's like a cry.
Yeah. And then we can garland it, and that's my way of honoring it also as the Buddha, as true nature.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last sentence you said.
Well, the word I like is to garland it, meaning to put the beautiful flowers around it, the way we honor sages and...
It's got a problem to receive that because it says it's so unworthy.
Yeah, but ask it to look behind its history of unworthiness and even its history of worthiness. What's right behind both those human ideas, worthiness and unworthiness?
There is confusion, but there is softness too, that wasn't there before. But there is like a floating confusion, so it's no answer really.
Yeah, but honor that it's coming out of the known. Confusion is where a lot of the files have melted. You know, a lot of the programs and the ideas have melted, and there's, as you said so beautifully, this free-floating not knowing.
Yeah. is very cold at the moment. It's floating, so that's what's going on.
Yeah. So warm it up a little bit with thank you. I love you. Or just gaze at it as this heart of hearts, as this benevolence, this warmth.
Okay.
Yeah. And just like a lullaby inside, do you know that word?
No.
A lullaby is what you sing to a child or innocence, like a sweet song of forgiveness and all is well and it's safe to rest.
Okay.
Yeah, just soothing it.
Well, there is softness now. It's different than before. But there is, in the heart of it, there is a panic for something that could not be forgotten. That is there.
Yes. Okay. But it wants you to tell it what's true. So what does the heart feel to say to that very deep panic?
I don't know. There is one part that doesn't want to disappear.
Well, nothing has to disappear.
Okay.
How would it like to live?
It's something about honoring, it says. I don't know.
Yes. Yes, you do know. That resonates, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for sitting with that and honoring it.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah.
I'll continue.
Yes, thank you, dear. Thank you for your wisdom.
Thank you. Mm. Thank you.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Gary. I'm from London.
Hey, Gary. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. I'm really enjoying listening to everybody and to you. And shall I just speak?
Please.
What? Yeah. Okay. So over the last couple of weeks, so I've experienced something that is recurring for me. And at times it's stronger than others, and at times it's non-existent. And it's the thing of being consumed by what other people are thinking of me or how I'm being viewed or seen by the world. And it usually occurs when I'm in a group of new people, which is often because I'm a singer and an actor. And the last couple of weeks specifically, I feel that the problem of being consumed by what people are thinking of me has made me quite unwell and drained.
Yes.
And it's been really, really unenjoyable.
Yes.
And I wondered if there is a way that I could either have this not happen, or if there's a way that it could happen but for it not to have such a negative impact on my life.
Yes, or we could just liberate it.
Uh-huh.
That would be good.
That would be amazing.
So,
how do I do that?
It wouldn't be so active unless it was really ripe and ready to be liberated. It wouldn't be sort of like jumping up and down in your field of vision so much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, no...
That feels good already.
Ah. So just, can
Carry
you
on.
Notice that it's not a personal thing? Lately I've been speaking of lots of these things as apps, like on a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's protective, isn't it? Even though it doesn't help, really.
Hmm. What do you mean, protected?
Protective. So it's like the human version of a car alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, originally it was a great idea to always be scanning for how people thought about us, just in case there was potential threat of disapproval or judgment or danger, really. So take a moment, even if it's not sincere, just to thank that program or that app. Then we can help it discern and liberate it. Just as if you were in a play where you had a bodyguard who was following you everywhere. And finally, you would very lovingly say, all right, I'm going to go rest now so you can relax. But you'd have to be firm and a little gentle with it. Does that resonate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just take a few moments and really honoring this because only a sage would think this. When the Dalai Lama comes into a room, he first bows to the security people. So we're just doing the same. And what do you notice?
It feels very still.
Beautiful. That's it.
And calm.
Wonderful.
I feel still and calm.
Yes. And just get really huge for a moment, Gary, I mean energetically, as if you could uncontain your presence as you do when you're acting and singing. So your mountain presence or... And just blessing all the apps and programs that encircle you and try and contain you and keep you safe. But you're blessing them the way a mountain blesses or the sky blesses or elephants bless. A And just let them know that you're safe and that you don't need worried love to protect you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that makes me realize how much I love myself, actually.
Yes, yes. And how much all those movements were also born out of honoring you.
Mm.
Your essence, your naturalness, your uniqueness.
Mm. And how much love I could have for those people that are sitting there not actually judging me like I think they are.
Yes. You can even bow to their conditioning before you go on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And then give your gift.
Mm.
'Cause everybody's heart's longing is to return to their naturalness, to uncontain and soar, and that's what music and art and satsang, that's what the gift is.
Mm.
Know yourself as this.
Yes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Thank
you.
I'm good.
Being with that.
Thank you. That's amazing. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Anthony and Chico.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. About a year and a half ago, my wife died. And 6 months ago or so, my son began to show symptoms of schizophrenia.
Oh, gosh.
He's currently in a lockdown facility run by the county.
Oh.
And may be out the end of next week. So, I don't know how to think about his condition.
Yes, yes,
in
yes.
In a way that doesn't make me sad.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think I'm of much use to him like that.
Ah, well,
so I don't,
yeah, you know, sages, and that's who you are, you're a sage, our strength is actually working from within and at a, what we call a distance, so your son is where he is and you're at home, but you can still honor him and he'll feel it. So schizophrenia is just a coping strategy, probably because he couldn't be with the loss of his mom, right? Something got touched very, very deeply and then retreated and acted out and did things that it didn't really want to do. So just bow to the schizophrenia for trying to protect him, because it pushes everyone away. So it's a survival strategy. And even though we're not going to like a lot of the survival strategies, but we can still bow to it's actually trying to keep him safe, even though it's not working.
It's an attempt, though.
Yes, exactly. A friend of mine, Catherine Ingram, once called a lot of these movements senile servants, like they're millions of years old, so they can't discern.
Okay.
Yeah, so just bowing to that senile servant in your son. Thank you for trying to keep him safe. Thank you for hiding him away and enforcing a retreat, pushing everybody away.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very good.
And now let's call forth your son's naturalness. Would that be okay?
Yes.
Yeah, because who he is, as you know, is natural presence, and he's unconditioned and already free. But we want to call that forth because the schizophrenia is what is imprisoning him. But he's already free. So we bow to the bodyguard, which is schizophrenia, so he'll let us go visit your son. That senile bodyguard.
Right.
And then bow to your son. Really honoring him as whole, complete, and perfect, innocent, and strong, and resilient. And can you get an image of him or feel him or what do you notice?
But he's the same.
He's the same. He's ever the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Can we just stay with it a few more heartbeats? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Yeah, and ask him so you notice he's ever the same, that he's his true nature. But ask him if he notices who he really is. Does he know who he really is? Because we want him also to root into that. That he's not any role he's ever played.
Well, I think that's what I don't, what keeps me unsure, that I don't know if he does.
Okay, so that's our friend doubt.
Right.
Yeah. Another app. Yeah. So ask doubt, let's see. Ask doubt before it doubts your son's true nature, what's true? Before doubt ever moved, what is true?
That he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine, right. Yeah. Now we can send him loving support because his body-mind might be, still not resting yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So as a sage, this is your talent. This is our talent, all of us. To give this loving, gentle gaze to whoever we're being with, wherever our heart is drawn, and especially because it's your son and he's in that strong situation, we send him extra deep bows, deep respect. Almost as if you could touch his feet from a distance and root him back into his natural confidence, his natural strength, his big heart.
Better.
Oh, lovely. And just Robert Adams, my teacher, he said to, before you go to sleep at night, hold in your heart or your mind whoever you're working with, and then you'll send him loving transmission all night. Just before you go to sleep, which you probably think of him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then
not in that deliberate, you know, intentional sort of way.
Yes, and then when you sleep, the transmission will continue.
That's terrific.
Great.
Yeah, I think I'll take a nap and test it.
Wonderful. Much love, dear.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hello, this is Charlie again.
Hey, Charlie.
This initial that I was just actually speaking to someone about just before this began, in my life, I have this learned helplessness, and when I've understood, and with that, this really iron defense, which really comes across, there's a deep-seated, hidden attitude of, I'm getting away with a lot of shit. I mean, there's a way that
The helpless role.
It's to protect the helpless role, but there's a way that I whether it's taking care of basic things in my life that I just sort of don't do, or this a way of there's always a way of hiddenly being like this thug or this thick dense underneath person that, if, you know, that's covering this sweet Charlie outward appearance.
Right,
maybe not
right. But those want to balance, that one, the thug wants to balance the helpless one.
Yeah, but it does. No, it does, and I, but I'm tired of it.
Yes. So you want to bring it a little closer then instead of firing it. So just bringing
okay,
both
how do I bring it closer?
Well, just imagine here you are, ever the same, this warm, benevolent, open space, and you're noticing all these coping strategies or survival strategies, and you're just inviting them like Noah and his ark to come home two by two. So the thug and the helpless one, can you just invite them home? Because neither of them like their role.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I see, actually, I've been primed for this conversation. So as soon as you say that, then I can settle into a very vulnerable place, or even what we call a tremulousness, a sense of a really not feeling like I have any support, but being like a innocent little child on my own.
Okay. Now, can we stay with that? Because there's a lot of beauty in it and strength, so we want to show it that. So just be really tender and feel it. And really bow
yeah,
to it.
It becomes, I mean, I could feel a very inner shakiness and then I could feel my mind or a pattern coming in of this is too much.
Yes.
You know, there's a feeling of overwhelm.
Yes. And just agree with that. Of course it's too much. Life is too much. It's infinite. But go back to tremulous, because those other apps were trying to get you not to be with it, because that's the ultimate treasure, is in that shaky, tremulous place.
Yeah, well, it...
Just stay bowing. Bowing.
Yes, I... It feels like it takes me to this very inner place, very tender, very loving. But actually, those are words. It feels more like a very sensitive. Again, it's a different sort of vibration, you know.
Yes.
It's like it's a more present and more solid, more grounded in sort of nothing. I mean, grounded in not any idea I have about things.
Yes, and just savor that for a moment. Like you can let every cell of your body drink in that original naturalness.
Yeah, and I...
And strength. I love that you're noticing that strength in that sensitivity.
Yeah, I'm... This is sort of... It's interesting. There's some... Three sisters that I was someplace last night and they perform and they have a whole big variety show, but I love them. I mean, there's a feeling of really, but I mean, that's outward. This is more feeling that same feeling sort of for myself.
Right. So stay with it for a moment, really unmovingly, and drink.
Oh, that's... as as you say, beautifully said. I mean, I really got that. Unmovingly be with it. I appreciate that.
There you go. And drink. Like every cell is just going, ah, yummy. This is the fountain of youth. This is the purity of being, the ageless, pure innocence and strength.
Yeah, I could feel some sort of joyous tears arising.
That's it. Yeah, the body is relieved. So let every cell, including your prostate, I never know how to say that. I always want to say
prostate.
Prostate. I always want to say prostrate.
Right.
Let it all be.
Even my prostate?
Why not?
Okay, right. It's just... Okay. No, this feels like really coming home, I guess.
Yes, yes. Let's all live this, since it's all that is. Thank you, Charlie. That was beautiful, Satsang.
Thank you, Kamala, very much.
Okay, dear. Bye-bye. I'm just bowing to everybody and Tao as well. Thank you for your presence, everyone. Beautiful satsang. It's so touching, I have to say, touching and also very rooting to listen to you all and all your heartfelt noticing and being with what is. And I just invite Tao to come on now. I believe we have our next telesatsang on March 2nd.
Yes.
Great.
And probably on the 23rd also, I think.
Great.
And we'll have that up for registration soon on the website.
Thank you, dear. And thank you, East Bay Open Circle, for hosting us and all the friends all over the world. And anything else
yes.
you'd like to say?
Oh, no? It's just so wonderful, and I could go ahead and unmute everyone so we can say farewell together.
Great.
Thank you, Pamela, Sandra, and Imperial Beach.
Oh, nice. Much love.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank us. Thank you all.
Pamela,
thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
I love you, Pamela.
We love you, too.